Welcome to the Catastrophic Comeback Podcast with American injury lawyer Clark Speaks, helping you find hope, purpose, and joy after a catastrophic injury.
Welcome back to Catastrophic Comeback. I'm continuing my conversation with Jeff Watson, managing attorney at Speaks Law Firm. Jeff, we were talking about case value, and it brought up the we got to a point in the conversation about artificial intelligence and the tools that we might be able to use. You mentioned that insurance defense firms and insurance companies use artificial intelligence and algorithms to predict case values. I know they've been using Colossus for a long time, which is an algorithm. The next generation of technology is AI, artificial intelligence. How does that play into this, what is your assessment of AI and how it can be useful or in this kind of situation?
Well, I mean, it can be useful. Like, we have services as well that we use that have artificial intelligence. They can go out and pull jury verdict research from different counties, in North Carolina or South Carolina. They can take the facts of the case that we've got, apply them to other cases that they've seen, that this intelligence has seen, and can come up with an estimated value range of, here's what this case is probably worth, here's probably what you should ask for, and they'll even write demands for you where it's phenomenal, some of the results that we see from some of those things. The danger you've got to have the human element. Like, they're programmed to do tasks. You say, give me this, they'll give you that. But they can't necessarily see the big picture or know this particular client personally and what the personal effects have been. And so, there's a disc. It's not like you can just go out and use this AI and litigate your own lawsuit. That wouldn't work. It's just information that we take and utilize in our evaluation.
An example comes to mind where we used AI in a case recently to give forecast for us the case value. And this was a case in North Carolina and just a few other states. Contributory negligence is an issue. And contributory negligence, as you know, if an injured person is even 1% responsible for the causing his or her own injuries, then they recover nothing, zero.
That's right.
Nothing. And so... A contributory negligence is a huge deal in these cases, a lot of times, and it's almost always alleged. And then there's sometimes they have evidence to back it up. So the AI has a very difficult time dealing with those kinds of issues. And so, for example, having dealt with these issues hundreds, if not thousands of probably thousands of times, maybe tens of thousands of times, I don't know. The issue of contrib, we can analyze complex competing concepts in such a way where we can go, okay, we're going to win this case 5 days out of 10, 7 days out of 10, 3 days out of 10. So that helps us quantify. And I can remember specifically a case very recently where we asked this AI model, the most sophisticated AI model that I know of in the world, about case value, and it did not give us an accurate number based on that contrib. Do you remember the situation I'm talking about?
I do. And so I saw the number that it came back with, and just based on my experience, I knew that they had not factored in contributory negligence, which is a big deal. If your client has done something that possibly contributed to the accident where a jury might give them a lot of money or a jury might give them zero, that zero is a big deal. Like, that, we can't have that happen to our client.
Right.
We don't want that to happen to our client. It's not, and so you have to factor that into the risks, right, of what that, it might be, if there was no contributory negligence, it might be a $10 million case. But because there's a strong case for contributory negligence that could be a zero, the case might actually be worth $3 or $4 million, because of that risk of the zero is so big. It's kind of like with my kids. If they have a risk of falling off of a high deck and breaking their arm, let's say there's a 95% chance that they're, when they're walking on the this this beam on the deck and they fall off, they're going to break their arm. 95% chance. On the other hand, if we're at the Grand Canyon and there's a 1% chance because there's, you know, safety measures in place, if there's a 1% chance that they could fall and die, that's a pretty low chance. But the risk is so huge that that's more important than the 95% breaking your arm, right? So the zero is huge in these cases. And so when that report came back, I immediately went back to the folks that were running this program and said, I don't think this is right. Like, I think you didn't factor this in correctly. Can you go back and assert contributory negligence and these sorts of things, jury verdicts in this count, in this particular county? They did that, and the case came back significantly less in value. Still a big case, millions of dollars worth. But now we had a more accurate forecast. If I'm a lawyer that just does car wreck cases, or I'm a lawyer that does a little smattering of everything, and I'm not in catastrophic cases all the time, I might have seen that first report and go, wow, we got a great, you know, and then I went and gave my client bad information, and it ended up blowing up on them.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand. I can understand what you mean. So AI is a tool. I'll tell you another example. So we use AI all the time for different things. We use it in. You and I have a case that we're working on that involves a fall, and I was a lot of times I'll use services to put together. Like a diagram or an exhibit that might show how a fall took place, right?
An animated recreation.
Right, an animated creation or whatever. Yeah. Maybe it's a still shot animation, or maybe it's a moving animation. And so AI can now do those things, right? And so,
right.
But I must have done it 20 times to fed the prompt to the AI 20 times in order to try to get this thing. And you could see there was always something that was wrong. Like, for example, you know, if it's on a basketball court where something happened, you know, instead of just being one basketball, there'd be 20 basketballs. If it's in a warehouse, you know, there's a forklift that's driving on the ground, and then there's another one up in the sky. Like it just makes these mistakes. I've heard also about people using AI to draft briefs and those kinds of things, and then the AI comes back and, I mean, the people get into trouble because it makes up stuff that's just not true, or it synthesizes, you know, five different cases into one case that doesn't exist, and that's problematic. You know what I mean? In front of a court or a judge or whatever.
Scary.
So people get in trouble. So it's important to understand that AI is a tool and not anything more. Jeff, I want to talk to you about the role of focus groups in this process. We've been talking about case value. My opinion is that focus groups are not for the purposes of assessing value. They can help with some stuff, but the purpose of focus groups, in my opinion, is to see how juries are going to react to crucial issues in the case. The idea of liability, the idea of contributory negligence, the idea of gross negligence, those kinds of things. If there's a specific fact about a defendant, if there's a specific fact about a plaintiff that, you know, might make that person, you know, for example, if a plaintiff was, if a defendant, if a person who caused the accident was drunk at the time, how is a jury going to react to that type of information? What's your impression of focus groups? Are they helpful? Are they not helpful? How are they best used?
Well, you know, you don't want to use them in every case because there's an expense to them, obviously. You know, if it's a case that's doesn't have a huge value, you'd be costing the client a lot of money for something that you should be able to figure out on your own. But when it's one of these catastrophic cases and you're trying to, you know, all the details, right, the devil's in the details. We've all heard that phrase before. You know, some of these details can sway the case this side, and the other detail may sway it way back over here. So we're trying to figure out what's the jury going to react to, what matters to them. And so, you know, we'll have one of our lawyers, and, you know, we'll get a group of people that are in the county where we're going to try the case. That's important, because if you just get a group of people from all over the place, you might have somebody from California that thinks the case is worth $20 million, because it is worth $20 million out there. But in South Carolina, it's worth $1 million, you know, because they're just more conservative, you know, folks there. So, you know, we try to get jurors or these sort of mock, you know, focus group folks, just everyday people, and a different collection of them, you know, different folks, men, women, you know, different races and backgrounds. And, you know, we try to get a smattering so we can kind of see how everybody reacts from their different perspectives. We'll have one lawyer play, you know, a defense lawyer, one play a plaintiff's lawyer for the injured person. And we won't tell them we're from the same firm. And, you know, they'll actually sort of mini try the case in front of this focus group and see how they react.
And so when we're in those, so usually you and I, just to educate our audience, you and I are not actually playing a role of either plaintiff's lawyer or defendant's lawyer. We're sort of sitting back, taking notes, watching how these mock jurors, this focus group, is reacting to these different pieces of information. And then we're able to ask questions at the end to elicit their opinions about these issues. So, I mean, my impression of those focus groups is that they, and I'm thinking of a couple of examples here recently, where, you know, the defense was just banging on the table about, you know, this guy contributory negligence, and, you know, this is, you know, and we even had some division in our own office about opinions about, hey, how big a problem was contributory negligence for us. But this focus group helped us really understand that issue and how the jury might ultimately resolve that issue. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, the jury, some of the jury found contributory negligence, but what they ultimately, and most of them did not, what they ultimately found was, or we ultimately saw was, it wasn't really a big issue for these people. Even the ones that found contributory negligence weren't going to deny our client the money that they were after, and the verdicts that they came back with were significantly higher than we thought. And it also, you know, they also found gross negligence, which was an issue in our own office where there had been some division. Well, we shouldn't add gross negligence. Maybe we should add, you know, we decided to add it. You know, that was primarily you and I that wanted to add that in there. And it made a difference. Like, the jury found gross negligence on behalf of this. So I was able to call the other lawyer up and say, the head, you know, there were multiple defense attorneys on this case, four, five, six attorneys. But there was one that was kind of leading the charge, and I was able to call him and say, we just did the focus group on this, and here's what they found. They found gross negligence, punitive damages, contrib. They just blew right over that. Like, you know, if we try this case, this is what's going to happen. You guys are going to get hit with a big verdict. And it mattered, you know, he knew. I've known him for a long time, you know, several decades, and he knew if I was telling him this, it was accurate information, and it mattered, you know. And some of the things that we did on that case, he actually came back to me and said, these things that you did, this focus group, this adding punitive damages, this expert, you know, these things that you did probably added $1 million worth of value on this case. He told me that. The defense lawyer told me that.
So we're coming back to character, which I think is important in all of this. And that is, you know, there's a couple of places where character matters in this case. Do you, when you ultimately make a decision to do a focus group, you have to have the character to be responsible with your client's resources. Is that a good use of money or is that not? Because ultimately that's going to be expense to the case. The other thing is when you say to another lawyer, hey, this is what our focus group told us, and then that lawyer accepts that, you know, that's an indication of a reputation that's built over many, many decades of, if I say something, it's the truth,
right?
You know, and I will say also with respect to the lawyers, I'm trying to think if there's an exception to this, but I don't think that there is, that do these high-end cases, these very complex, very difficult injury cases, these cases that are catastrophic injuries, life-changing injuries, multi-million-dollar cases, you know, it's, the character is strong on the other side too. I mean, we don't do the same work, but I have the people that do those kinds of things, and I can think of probably 20 20, 25 lawyers in North Carolina that defend these kinds of cases. Really it's the same five that we see over and over again, but still, I feel the same way about those guys. If they tell me something, it's the truth.
They're high character as well, and yeah. They're good at what they do. And you know, there's so many nuances to these focus groups. Like, you know, I was thinking back to a recent case that we did, and there were some phrases that our lawyers used when they were doing their opening statement or their closing statement. And I remember the jurors talking about, and like those phrases kept coming up. And so sometimes it was bad. Like that phrase, like we were like taking notes, like don't use this phrase.
Yeah.
Other times it was good. Like they really latched onto that. Like yeah. That needs to be front and center what we're saying.
And I think we see a lot of that same thing play out in these focus groups when we use them. And that helps us be able to assess how these things are going to play out in front of a diverse jury when we get to court, which in turn helps us give good quality, comprehensive information to plaintiffs who then might make the best decision for themselves and for their family. So I find these focus groups to be unbelievably valuable. And if the financial, criteria is there so it makes sense for the client, then I think they're absolutely critical to the whole process. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you talking to me about that. And we'll continue with another topic next.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.